This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, with summer inching towards an end and fall officially entering our lives this week. Autumn is always a great time to break out new and classic recipes, baked goods, elaborate family meals, and as it cools off, you might be more inclined to turn on that oven. Over the last year and a half, particularly due to the pandemic, cooking has become more popular than ever. But if you've grown tired of the cookbooks you already have, might be time to invest in a new one. This week's Review Previews is all about fall cookbooks. Here to help us sift through the new releases is Eater senior editor and resident cookbook expert, Monica Burton. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Let's talk practical cookbooks first. We'll inch our way up. They have a new cookbook from a fan favorite, All of It favorite, Carla Lally Music, titled This That Tastes So Good. What's exciting about this book, and how does it approach everyday cooking?
Yeah, it's actually That Sounds So Good.
Sounds so good.
That I think everything also looks like it will taste so good. This book is really for the person who already has cooking as part of their daily routine, or was really looking to get to a place where they feel comfortable cooking for themselves every day. Great, because it differentiates between weeknight recipes and weekend recipes, which I think is something all of us who are having to cook for ourselves now could really appreciate. And it's full of really practical tips, including grocery lists and substitutions, for really the goal is just getting delicious food on the table in a way that feels manageable. And I know that on staff, the parents on my team were really excited for this one, as well as just anyone who is cooking regularly right now.
Another interesting addition in the Back to Basics cookbook is Grist by Abra Behrens. The subtitle is A Practical Guide to Cooking Grains, Beans, Seeds, and Legumes. So tell me about the goals of this book.
Yeah, so Abra Behrens wrote Roughage, which was a beautiful cookbook focused on vegetables. And here she takes that same approach to legumes and grains, really elevating those food categories to be full meals, building really elaborate meals around the pantry tables, but not just elaborate, practical as well, so that these things that can feel boring and dull in side dishes really become the center stage, the star of a meal.
What's it look like? I love the way cookbooks look. I'm curious if you've seen it actually physically yet.
Oh, yeah. So it has like a matte gray cover with a photo of what looks like a grain bowl on the cover, as well as some beans in their dried form. Yeah, it looks, I haven't had to have held a physical copy yet, but it looks like a really good one to add to your shelves with a lot of like heft.
My guest is Monica Burton, senior editor at Eater. We're talking about fall cookbooks. Also coming up are two sort of quote-unquote monumental releases, I think is how it was described, Black Food by Bryant Terry and the Latin American Cookbook by Virgilio Martinez. They span regions and traditions. What's special about these two releases?
Yeah, to my mind, these are books that will really can live on your coffee table in addition to being put in your pantry among your cookbooks. Just because they are so hefty. I'll start with Bryant Terry's book, Black Food. This is the first book from his new imprint with Penguin Random House called Four Color Books that is meant to highlight the voices of people of color. And so for this book, he turned to Black luminaries from across the African diaspora to get contributions of recipes, but also essays and poems and visual art that really celebrates Black culinary contributions and Black food culture more broadly. And so I think this is a really important book to come out this season and one that everyone should definitely check out.
That makes me feel like it should have its own Spotify list to go with it somehow.
There is a playlist in the book. So I'm not sure if it exists on Spotify, but I'm sure someone will, if it's not already out there, someone's going to make it.
And the other book, the Latin American cookbook.
Yeah, so Faden has been doing these big regional cuisine deep dives, and this is their latest. And it's put together by Virgilio Martinez, who is the chef of Central in Peru. And he also has this initiative called Mater, where he researches Latin American foodways. And I I think that really makes him a great person to put this book together in a really thoughtful way. So it covers the whole region and is separated by large ingredient categories like fish, lamb. There's a whole chapter on corn. And it's another one that is just like really big and with beautiful photography.
Oh, and when you said fade on it, you know right away that it's going to be gorgeous and luxurious in your hands. Those are called Black Food and the Latin American Cookbook. All right, so in October, TikTok famous chef and lawyer Joanne Lee Molinaro, aka the Korean Vegan, is set to release a debut cookbook, Korean Vegan Cookbook. What are you excited to see from Joanne as she brings, you know, she's going from her online platform into like a physical cookbook?
Yeah, so I think this will be great for her existing fans because you do, within the book, there are so many stories about her family and where she comes from and their approach to cooking food. But really, I think so many of us are thinking more about how to incorporate plant-based meals into our routine. And I think doing it through this specific cuisine is a great way to make that an exciting prospect. So there are things like replacement for fish sauce that she calls fishy sauce that is mushroom-based that I think could be used in a lot of recipes in addition to just the ones that are the Korean recipes in this book.
My guest is Monica Burton, senior editor at Eater. We're talking about fall cookbooks and our review preview. Okay, it's fall. Means we get to bake again. Let's talk about Dory Greenspan. We love Dory around here. I'm actually really sad that we can't have guests just yet because when Dory would come in, Monica, she always brought us cookies. Whenever she
came. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yes. So tell us what we can expect from Dory.
So this is her 14th cookbook. So you can expect the tried and true baking recipes that have made it possible for her to write 14 cookbooks. And the tagline on this one is sweet, salty, and simple. And I wouldn't say the recipes look simple, but they look manageable with impressive end results. Mm-hmm. And I think the simplicity comes in the baking of them, and then what you end up with looks delicious. Like starting with on the cover, there's this photo of the Lisbon chocolate cake that I think was a New York Times recipe at some point, and I've made it, and it is excellent and easy to do, but so impressive. And I think that's what you can expect from this book.
Now, I understand, I haven't seen it myself, so please correct me if I'm wrong. There's a title in here, a chapter titled Salty Side Up in the middle of the bacon cookbook. What do we know about this chapter?
Yes. Let me see. I actually have the book right next to me.
Oh, great.
Salty Side Up. Yeah, so that is the savory side of Dory's baking repertoire, I believe. I can shout out some recipes.
Yeah, please.
But there are things like blue cheese bites, a fig and goat cheese tart, tomato tarts, the kind of the baked goods that can also become side dishes or main dishes, really, and appetizers, but all the things that savory ingredients.
That's you got me. You got me with those titles. Let's talk about food blogger Christina Cho. Her book she's describing as exploring, quote, Chinese bakeries across America and why these businesses are so important to Asian American culture. How does she approach exploring Chinese American, Asian American culture through baking?
Yeah, so these are, I haven't really seen a cookbook that explores this side of the baking world, but it's pretty much everything in a Chinese bakery. Bread, buns and dumplings and steam buns, egg tarts, and it's all the instructions to make pretty much anything you would want after visiting a bakery in Chinatown, both sweet and savory.
And the name of that is Mooncakes and Milk Bread. And finally, Cheryl Day's Treasury of Southern Baking by Cheryl Day. Tell us a little bit about what makes Cheryl Day special and her Southern baking special.
Yeah, so Cheryl Day is the proprietor of Back in the Day Bakery in Savannah, Georgia. which she runs with her husband. And this book is, she has a book about the recipes that you'll find at Back in the Day, but this is about Southern baking. A lot about the women in her family and their baking traditions, and how that legacy is carried on with Southern bakers today. And it's really comprehensive. You'll find multiple recipes for biscuits, multiple mm-hmm. recipes for crackers. There are various chapters on cake, including one I love, she calls gathering cakes, which she describes as cakes that will travel well and are enjoyed as part of everyday life, which I just love as a concept. And so I think that's a really fun one for any baker.
Before I let you go, what is something a cookbook has to have to get your attention, to make your list?
That is a very good question. I don't think there's any one thing. It just has to make me and the rest of our team who takes a look at these want to cook from it. I love seeing cuisine categories that I haven't seen a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's hard to resist a great cover photo for sure.
That is for sure. My guest was Monica Burton, senior editor at Eater, sharing a list of fall cookbooks for our Monday preview. Monica, thanks for assembling that list. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. And we have more books to explore at eater.com.
Excellent.